Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Alan Rader about a recent article individualizing treatment with statin therapy. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the Chief Science Officer of the Obesity Medicine Association. Today, we are doing an article review that's part of the obesity algorithm. And with us, we have Dr. Alan Rader. Dr. Rader, tell the folks who you are and what you do.
Thanks, Harold. Alan Rader's my name. I am currently a full-time obesity medicine physician. I have been for 22 years now. After 15 years working as an emergency physician, I switched to this new and upcoming field and loved every minute of it.
Right. And because we're going to get to this article here in a second, but within the context of the of working in the emergency department, How many cases of cardiovascular disease did you see?
Well, it was very common, and in fact, that's part of what led me into this area. Is I noticed the patients coming in at the earlier ages and having heart attacks very often. Their cholesterol levels were not significantly elevated, and I noticed there was a definite pattern that the size and shape of their abdomen looked very much like my abdomen, and I made it a career decision that I wanted to get in and learn why having extra abdominal fat put these patients at increased risk for cardiovascular disease.
Now you seem to kind of personalize that there. Are you saying you made some changes in your life based upon?
Absolutely. As we got into the field, 20 years ago, I lost about 15% of my body weight, and I've kept it off now for over 20 years.
Wow. So I take it that you've applied what you learned and what you lived in your life to the care and management of patients. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's in the field of obesity medicine, it is very science, but then it's also very personal. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about that. You know, I get to share my story, and very often patients educate and motivate me. And that's one of the things I really love about this field of medicine and what I do.
Well, one of the aspects of obesity medicine is managing cardiovascular disease, the number one killer of both men and women with overweight and obesity. And the article you chose was published in Journal of Family Practice in 2018. It's entitled Individualizing Treatment with Statin Therapy. And I was surprised that you had picked this because I'm first author on the paper. And basically the article reviews how it is that different statins have different potential for side effects, different potential for drug interactions and such, and that these things are clinically applicable when you're prescribing statins to patients. And one of the main focus of this essentially a review article was to better make clinicians aware of the possible increase in glucose levels with certain of the statins. Now, maybe not apply to all statins. For example, pitavastatin and pravastatin really don't seem to increase glucose levels, at least according to the medical literature. But certainly the rosuvastatin, the higher intensity statins, the 40 to 80 of atorvastatin or the 40 of rosuvastatin does increase the onset of the diabetes mellitus. So that's something for which patients should be made aware. And when we manage our patients with the overweight and the obesity and they hear about the increase in glucose levels with certain statins, Dr. Rader, what do you tell them?
You know, all medicine is personal. And when anytime we advise a therapy, whether it's trying to lower the risk of cardiovascular disease through statin therapy, use of medication, anti-obesity medication in the treatment of obesity. It's got to be individualized, and you have to take risk factors into consideration. And because obesity is a high risk factor for the development of diabetes, if we do need the statin therapy, now having your article as a reference, I do know there are choices that are better that lower that risk, but I can make an individualized treatment. I think patient-centric is the term you use, and I really, really, really like that. But if we do use a statin that may cause a very slight increased risk, that gives us more motivation to work on the major risk factor for the development of that diabetes, and that's the excess weight that they've been carrying.
Right. And so when you talk about patient-centered approach, I mean, I think you have to consider that certain statins are metabolized in different ways. Many times it really doesn't matter, but say, for example, lovastatin, simvastatin, atorvastatin are metabolized by cytochrome P450-3A4, and a lot of other drugs are metabolized by that system as well. So for potential drug interactions, you need to be aware of that. But I think your point's spot on. The fact is, it's these high-intensity statins that have the best evidence towards reducing cardiovascular disease risk. And I guess the second point I would make is that the people who are most likely to develop the diabetes with the statin, particularly the high-intensity statin, are the people who may have been on the way to developing diabetes anyway. So it'd be older folks, people with the overweight, people with the pre-diabetes, people with family history of diabetes, these types of things. And I think that maybe opens up an opportunity to say, well, yes, maybe there is an increased risk of the diabetes. And what that really translates is into what?
Let's attack what happens in my clinic very often is people show up and we're kind of a last resort because they've tried to lose weight, they've been unsuccessful, and they really don't look at weight control or losing the visceral fat as an achievable treatment. And so when I prescribe something that may give them an increased risk, maybe, of increasing the risk of diabetes and new onset diabetes, they just really haven't put together that I can attack the larger risk factor and be successful. And I think the thing that blows my mind is when I tell patients that a little bit of weight loss, 5% from the Diabetes Prevention Program study, where very well documented, that a little bit of weight loss goes a long way in reducing the risk of diabetes. So for a 200-pound person, that's as little as 10 pounds, achieving maybe a 50% reduction in the risk of diabetes. So even if the statins do cause a potential slight increased risk of new onset diabetes, I can modify that through my choice of statins now, and I actually didn't realize that before I read this article, that I can make a better choice for them possibly, but attacking the major risk factor is why I got into this field in the first place.
All right, so I think that is so critical is a patient comes in, they have the overweight or obesity, or there's a clinician out there that has patients like this, and they are aware of the increase in the diabetes with certain of the statins, particularly the high-intensity statins and such. And they ask, how can I avoid this? How can I prevent this from happening? I mean, you tell me I need to be on the statin. I get it. I agree with you. I see the literature. You know, I've read it on the internet or whatever. But what I'm hearing from you is maybe one of the biggest keys to alleviate those types of fears is to inform patients that there are options and there are viable options. And yes, through appropriate nutrition, physical activity, behavior modification, whatever, you really can achieve weight reduction. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
It's been the focus of my career for over 20 years now. And it's been a delight for me through the Obesity Medicine Association to actually work with other clinicians and get them interested and moving forward in the field of obesity medicine. We're at a really turning point time, I believe, in the field of obesity medicine. It's been a fun ride.
Right. And I think one of the reasons why it's becoming more enjoyable is that we truly do now have tools where this isn't something that's like it's not as though that it's insurmountable, right? It can't, obesity can be treated. How do you get that message across to patients that come to you that have been on every conceivable diet, taken every conceivable supplement, seen every conceivable doctor, read, watched every conceivable YouTube, watched TV and everything, have gotten nowhere, and now they see you? What is it that you tell them? How do you get the message across that your approach is going to be different from them than what they've done before?
I think the best way to explain that is like putting a puzzle together. And think of the four in the Obesity Medicine Association. We call them the four pillars. But I use the term puzzle with the patients. And if I'm going to solve a puzzle, I've got to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. So maybe a certain kind of diet didn't work with them before, but if you do it in combination with pharmacotherapy and using medicine, it might be successful. And so we take the approach that we've got to look at all four pieces of the puzzle and manage all four pieces of the puzzle. Somebody typically may start gaining weight for one reason, but I don't know in my 22 years of experience that I've met any person that's for overweight and stays overweight or has obesity. It's multifactorial. There's many things. And we've got to look at all the pieces of the puzzle. And so when I work with a patient, I explain to them that, you know, yeah, you maybe tried this and yeah, maybe you tried that. But you know, let's look at combinations and see if we can figure out using pharmacotherapy in many, if not most cases, and looking at the psychology. How do I feel about my weight? And for me, I think somebody said earlier, a big part of our job is just being a cheerleader and letting them know that success is possible. And we see it multiple times every day. But if the patient's not doing well for whatever reason, now we've got a way to go in and intervene and try to figure out what their barrier is. And with new medications coming on board, as we learn more, as I said, the patients very often teach me something. So I may learn something from Joe that I can turn around and use that to try to help Sally. So being gaining experience and having experience in the field of obesity medicine helps me to be more likely to help the patient be successful.
Right. And I kind of like the puzzle analogy because, you know, it's all integrated in it.
It is.
In this case, we're talking about statins. And you've got to integrate their metabolism, their transport proteins, the outcome studies that are associated with each, potential side effects. We talk about glucose being one for some of them. But in just the cholesterol, we also do need to look at the glucose. We need to look at the blood pressure. We need to look at the lipids and all those types of things. And as we're trying to integrate all those pieces of the puzzle and help the patient put the puzzle together, you're right. We got to cheerlead too. We got to say when they're successful in putting the pieces together, we got to let them know, right?
And you know, sometimes as the obesity medicine specialist, I've got to kind of delicately walk and know when I need to give them a little nudge in the behind and get in the game more.
That's part of the puzzle too.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, very good. Well, Dr. Rader, thanks for giving us your insights today. And I want to thank you, the listener, for attending the Obesity Medicine Association podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Rader. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcast and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.